This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Flat Out Whānau, you're with Lady H, host of Flat Out Pride on your Free FM dial. If you're a Waikato local with an idea for your own show, Free FM would love to hear from you. Check out our website, freefm.org.nz, or find Free FM on Facebook and get in touch.
He mea hanga tēnei hōtaka e ngā pūtea tautoko o ngā reo irirangi te motu.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Ko Maunga Pōhatu te Maunga, ko Tairana te Awa, ko Matātua te Waka, ko Tūhoi te Iwi. Nō Waimana Ahai, engari kei Kirikiriro i noho ana. Ko Nicola Tikiri, toku ingoa. Kia ora, my name is Nicola Tikiri, and I hail from a beautiful place called Waimana, but born and raised here in Kirikiriro or Hamilton. And I am the founding director of the company NTK Made Limited. Well, people might be more familiar with my brand, Nicola, Contemporary Māori Designs from Aotearoa, where we make and create kākahu with clothing and accessories. The reason why I'm doing this podcast is to create a space and to share the highs and lows that I've learnt over my business journey and to help you with your business idea, to help plant that seed and to make it grow and flourish. So join me as I share my knowledge and experiences and talk about the background and how I started my business, inspiration, where I find or draw inspiration from, what are the different products I make and how, where do I sell my products and what platforms do I use. Kia ora, hey, it's Nicola and welcome to episode 4 of Ko Tēnei Te Wā. In this episode, we are going to be covering pricing and marketing. So, following on from our last episode, we talked about products and development. So once you have completed or you've got an item made, what are the next steps? For me, that would be pricing and marketing, which is selling your product. So firstly, pricing. Now, do you ever remember a time when you were out shopping, either at a shop or online, and you thought, wow, this is so cheap, what an awesome bargain? Or did you ever think, wow, man, that is so expensive, I can't afford that? In those moments, did you ever stop to think why that product or item or service is at that price? Why has that business put it out at that cost? Because you really need to think about that. There's a lot of reasons, and that leads me back into us. To be honest, I think a lot of us out there in business or even starting up or wanting to start up a business, we can often undervalue and undersell ourselves, especially Māori. And I have a few reasons, in my opinion, as to why that is. Firstly, for me, it's about confidence. We often think, man, who will buy my item, you know, or who will buy my product for a really high price? Because I think this because I used to think like that. You know, actually in my early days, I was very, 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 very shy, very whakamā, and I had very little confidence. And I remember this one time, I was wearing a pair of my earrings that I had made, and I was out, you know, shopping and stuff like that. And I walked into the shop, and this lady said to me, wow, I really love your earrings. These are earrings that I had made. She goes, wow, I really love your earrings. Where did you get them from? And I said to her, oh, I bought them off this business from a lady that I saw on Facebook, knowing full well that they were mine. And she goes, wow, I really love them. Can you give me her name? And I was like, yeah, I can. So I wrote down my own name and I sent it to my Facebook page. But yeah, my confidence was really, really low. And she asked me about the price. And up till that time, I was just kind of winging it. So my price at that stage, I said, oh, they're only $15. Really, they should have been a whole lot more. But it was because of my confidence that I was underselling myself. So that's the first reason why I think a lot of us do it. We have, you know, we need to build up that confidence. Secondly, I think why a lot of us undervalue and undersell ourselves is because of the marketplace. We look at businesses and people around us either selling similar things to us or selling similar services, products, whatever it may be. And we base our price so it's similar to theirs, purely because we think, oh, the customer won't want to pay any different for my product than they will for my those around me or my competitors. But again, you know, we need to rethink and relook at that. And I remember myself being at a market, and I would walk around at this market and I would, you know, check out all the different products that were there. And if I saw at that stage earrings that were similar, or, you know, another store there selling earrings, I would check out what their price was to see if it was close to what I offered. And yeah, again, that's why I think we come back to undervaluing and underselling ourselves, because of the marketplace. We look at what other people are selling and we think, oh, we should be basing ours around theirs. Now, this point I'm going to come back to further on in our kōrero. But yeah, that's my second reason why I think we do that, is underselling ourselves, is because of marketplace. The third reason I think we do it is because of lack of knowledge. When I started out, honestly, I had no idea what to charge my mahi at, specifically small items like earrings, because I would make 50 pairs at once, and it was really hard for me to gauge the cost of things. And back in those days, I never really included my time. So I just pretty much guessed what I would charge and what I would personally pay for something like that. And at that time, it wasn't a lot. It was $15. And yeah, that's definitely not a good way of looking at pricing things. So that's number three, lack of knowledge. Lastly, the reason why I think we undersell and undervalue ourselves when we're in business is because of other people's opinions. In my early days, I would listen to a lot of people around me, and they would be whānau and friends. And I would listen to their opinion about a lot of different aspects of business. And these people had no experience in selling. These people had no experience in starting a business. These people had no experience in business whatsoever. A lot of my whānau are teachers, so... But I would listen to them. I would listen to what they say. And I would especially listen to them when they say, whoa, that costs too much. I wouldn't pay that much for those. And I'd be like, pfft. I would actually take it on board. Now I have a very different opinion. So yeah, that's my other reason that I think a lot of us undervalue and undersell ourselves, is because of other people's opinions. So then I think, how do we price things? You know, how do we price our products? How do we price our time? How do we price our service in a way where it's helping us not only to support the costs that we need to cover, but to also help us grow? And there are a few ways in doing this, and this is my way that I'm going to share with you. Firstly, I work out the cost of goods. So what that is you work out how much it costs to make your product. You weigh up all the materials, you add in your time, and by that you add in, let's say, what would you pay yourself to make these earrings? So let's say for me, it's a standard $30. So you work it all out, you add in your costs, you add in your materials, your time, perhaps your overheads, your freight, packaging, all those little bits and pieces that go into making your product. And then you divide it up by the length of time that it takes to make one. Now, that's a bit of a complicated equation, but believe me, nut it out, put it down, put it in a spreadsheet perhaps, and try and work it out the best you can, just making sure that you cover everything it is that helps, that makes your products. In regards to service, it'd probably be a whole lot different where you'd be measuring your time. But in regards to product, again, materials, labor, overheads, and overheads are things like power, insurance, whatever it might be. Include packaging, include freight. Bundle those all up and then divide it up by the time it takes you to make one thing. Or you can do it in bundles, the time it takes you to do 10 and then divide that up by 10. So that's how I work out my cost of goods. From there, there's a thing called wholesaling and retail. Now, wholesaling, there's a whole lot of different strategies people have out there. For me, I double my cost of goods. Some people do it by 2.5, some people do it 2.6, and what that means is you're timing your cost of goods by 2.5, 2.6 to get your wholesale price. And what a wholesale price is, if you're selling your product to someone else who's going to sell it on. So for example, that might be, I would sell my product to, let's say, Te Papa. I sell it at a wholesale price, and then they'll put their price on top of that, and then it becomes a retail price. If you need some more clarity around this, my advice would be to get onto Google and look up there, type in there pricing structures, pricing strategies, just to help yourself get clear with what wholesale and retail cost of goods are. Going from, if I'm selling our products online, then I do it at a retail price, which is 4 times the cost of goods for myself. And that way I'm covering my goods, I'm covering the costs, but it also leaves room for things like marketing and leaves room for growth. And that growth is going to be the profit that you'll be making. And that's really important for when you want to expand, and expansion might be a lot of different things. For me currently, it's moving to a new premises. For you, it might be getting a new machine, or getting machinery, or getting equipment, or it could be actually purchasing different materials that you want to try. So it could be a lot of stuff. But yeah, in regards to pricing, start off with that cost of goods, work out how much it costs you, so that you need to cover everything to make that product. Then you add on your margin, your percentage, whatever you want to call it. For me, I times my cost of goods by 2 to get your wholesale price. From wholesale, then you go to retail price. So that's it, the price that your customer is going to pay. I double mine again. Some people do it by a percentage or a markup that sits at around 2.5, 2.6. But honestly, get onto Google, because it's quite hard to explain talking to you. It actually might be a lot better if you're a visual person like myself to see it online or in front of you. So yeah, that's my kōrero in regards to pricing. Just remember, don't undervalue and don't undersell yourself. I did say I was going to come back to Marketplace. In regards to Marketplace, I do actually still look at the Marketplace to see what other people are paying or selling the items at. I look at it, sometimes I think, will my products sit in that market at the price I want to charge? And sometimes it doesn't, and that's okay. You just need to understand that your price isn't sitting at that level. So then I start reevaluating, do I want to be in the same marketplace as those people, or do I want to shift? And for me, those decisions are made around when I want to go to events, or I want to go to a specific retailer. They have to be a match, and the match has to be, A, it has to fit for your product, your brand, your business, and it also has to fit with your pricing. Because sometimes you may have a really low cost item, a low priced item, and it wouldn't really sit well in a high end store or at a market where prices are going to be at a higher end, and vice versa. So yeah, your marketplace can play a part in your pricing, but it doesn't necessarily have to define your pricing. That needs to be done by you, and where you want to head with your product and where you want to sell your product. So yeah, that's my kōrero in regards to pricing. All right, marketing. There's a huge kōrero, as there is a lot to marketing. There's strategies, there's campaigns, content calendars, paid and organic traffic, metrics or data that you need to use to measure your marketing. And honestly, this is only the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot to this topic. So what I really think in regards to marketing is this, that you need to know your customer avatar, and you need to have a few marketing strategies. And I'm going to explain just a couple of things about what those are for us. Firstly, our customer avatar. Now you might be asking, what is a customer avatar? Well, that is your target market,
the person you sell to. And sometimes you can have a couple of different customer avatars, but a lot of people say to have a really laser focus and concentrate on just one, especially when you're beginning. So for us and the Nicola brand, our customer avatar is called Medipaya. Now we personalize her just so we can get an image of what she looks like, what she does, and who she is. We look into some of the things that she is about. So she's a Māori wahine, she's aged between 35 and 45 years, she's a professional, she works, she owns her own home, she's very whānau orientated, and she's fiercely Māori. Now the key thing is to understand with your customer avatar is how to communicate to them. What words do you want to say or do you need to say to reach them? What messaging do you need to use and what imagery do you need to use to not only reach them but to also engage with them? And then you need to understand what are their pain points? You know, what do they need from you or how can you help them with these areas? And what are their aspirations? You need to understand a whole lot about your customer avatar so you can know how to engage with them, because this is going to help you really target your product, your message, and what you want to get across to the customer. So that's about our customer avatar, and you really need to have a really good grasp on who you're trying to sell to and who you're trying to get your product or your brand in front of. Now, in regards to marketing, as I said, there's a lot to it, so I'm just going to cover a couple of things. And what I'm going to cover is I'm just going to briefly touch on social media for us and our email marketing. So firstly, I think everyone knows what social media is. Now again, the channels that you choose to use in regards to social media will again go back to your customer avatar. What platforms are they using? For me and our customer avatar Medipaya, she spends a lot of time on Facebook and Instagram. She's not really someone that goes onto TikTok, but you will also find her on LinkedIn. So those are the platforms that we target in regards to our customer. Now in regards to social media, it really is an experiment because it's always changing and evolving. So don't get too hung up if something doesn't work, regroup and try something different. What I do think you should do when you're first starting out with social media is create a social media content calendar. And what that does for us, it's like a plan. This is a space our business works on, and we're always in it and we're always planning ahead, like through the calendar year, about what content we want to put on our social media platforms. Now again, it's really around planning, and what we do is we first look at what the different events are that we will be at. We look at special times of the year that we want to pin onto our calendar because we want to offer either different specials or different offers. For example, we've got Mother's Day coming up very soon for us, and we have just been talking about the products that we want to roll out for Mother's Day and how we're going to lead into those products or selling those products to our customer, what kind of messages our customer Medipaya is going to want to see. Because she's really whānau orientated, we will draw on whānau ideas, whānau sharing, you know, buying this as a whānau for your mum, or you know, just different ideas and messages along those lines. So we put that into our social media calendar. We start looking at when we're going to release or launch different collections. That's because we're a fashion and accessories brand, so that really ties in a lot with us and what we're about as a business. And so once we've got those main kind of parts, and there's a few other things that you may want to put in there as well. You may want to do something around affirmations, something around special times of the year, whatever that may be for you. Make sure you put it onto the calendar and then start planning. Plan what you're going to post about. Sometimes you may need to create the content, so plan about that. For example, going back to the Mother's Day thing, we may need to take some imagery to best get across our message for Medipaya, and especially around that whānau aspect. Or sometimes we do draw on our database. When we create content, we store it all in a folder and files, and we sometimes pull on those for different content for our social media. There's just so much to social media marketing, and there's just way more strategies you can do and use. But the main thing really is to be creative and maintain an active presence. You know, keep posting interesting and engaging content that your customer avatar is going to want to see and hear about. That's if there's anything I can stress and that I get you to take away from this little snippet of marketing, is to do that, to make yourself interesting and engaging, and always keep an active presence on your social media platforms. The second strategy I wanted to talk about real briefly in regards to our marketing is the email marketing. Now what that is we've built up a database of emails from our customers, and we've developed that over the years. As a new business or someone starting out, it can be something really simple as you going to a market and you having a form where people fill out their names, their email address, and you also tell them too that, hey, this is what this you're signing up to get information from us. We will be emailing you about different updates or specials, whatever that might be for you, but you've got to tell them right from the get-go that that's what they're signing up to. If you're developed enough and you've got a website, make sure that you have a space on there that people can sign up to your database as well. For a lot of us, that can be a pop-up, and you may see that on a lot of different online stores, that a pop-up box will happen. It will say, you know, add in your email address here to be kept up to date with the latest, you know, fashion or latest newsletters or whatever it might be for you. Just as long as you're capturing that email database, where you're going to get, where you're going to be able to build your database. And once you've got those, and it can just start off with a few, and then as you go along, we'll just make sure that you're continuously asking for that and you're building on that email database. Because this database will go into your email marketing, and this is said to have the highest conversion rate. And what that means is that this audience is hot right now for you, because they have signed up, they have willingly given you their email address, and they are willing to have an engagement with you in some sort of way. So they are your hot audience, and they will be very a lot easier to convert. Now, in regards to your email marketing, what we do is we have a lot of things set up. We've gotten a lot of different autoresponders, which are automatic emails that go out to our customers at different stages. We use an email database called Klaviyo, but I know a lot of people who have used MailChimp. We started on that as well. But yeah, these, I suppose, apps are things that you're going to need to sign up to be able to conduct an email marketing campaign. So the example I'm going to give to you in regards to what we do is we have a newsletter that we roll out every week, so people sign up. All these different strategies will happen when they've signed up, but what we do intentionally is roll out a newsletter, and that newsletter will contain different events that we're going to be at. It will contain products that we're going to have on special, and it will contain new products that we are rolling out. But with your email marketing, it's really good to mix it up. You know, build that engagement, have a special offer, do product highlights, and always link your products back to your website, back to your sales channel, so that they can purchase. And that's a really big thing. You know, you can create multiple landing pages that you send your customer back to. It's all dependent on where you want to send your customer to. It's also really good, if you can, to have a blog post. And that's, I suppose, where you talk about either a different product you've got, a different co-pupper that you're wanting people to engage in. So when you roll out your email newsletter or campaign or whatever it might be, just make sure it's always driving people back to your website, because that's really important, because it's through your website that you're going to either be able to engage with them more or convert them to a sale. So yeah, that was a real quick overview of marketing. And like I said, it is really a really big, huge kaupapa and a huge topic. And a lot of people spend a lot of money in this area around marketing. But my three things again is understand who your customer avatar is. Really get down to, you know, to the finer details about who they are, what they like, what their pain points are, all that kind of stuff. But really understand who your customer is, who you're selling to. Definitely don't say to everyone, because you're not selling to everyone, and you can't market yourself that way. You really need to have a laser focus. And the second thing is, you know, social media. It's free to join. You can have a page. Just make sure that you're active on there and be interesting and engaging, and build it up. Again, like I said, there's other strategies and things you can do. But yeah, just honestly start and be active and start getting those posts up. And the third thing is email marketing. Build up that database of customers and start that relationship and get those newsletters or emails out to them. Keep them engaged, keep them coming back to your website, and yeah, just keep having that conversation with them. Hey, thanks for joining us on this episode. I hope you've taken away some gems that will help you on your journey. Make sure you join us next week to recap on what we've covered over the last 5 weeks. Until then, mā te wā whānau and enjoy yourselves.
Kia ora, hey, it's Nicola here.
If you ever want to get in touch with me or hit me up on my website,
www.nicola.co.nz. Ka nui te mihi atu ki a koe.
Tēnā koe, ko Murdoch tēnei, te kai whakari te pāpāho Māori ki tuia ngā reo o te hāpuri. Tēnā koe, it's Murdoch, Māori Media Coordinator here at 3FM. And we're really excited about all the new Māori-focused content currently playing on 3FM. But we can always do more. So if you have kōrero you want to share with us, I roto I te reo Māori in the Māori language, or with a Māori kaupapa, then email me, māorimedia@freefm.org.nz.
He mea hanga tēnei hōtaka e ngā pūtea tautoko o ngā reo irirangi te motu.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.